It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Yep, here we are. This is episode number 153. What is so special about this episode? Well, today is the day of the total eclipse of the sun. Okay, going to get into that in a few because I am in an area near totality in Kansas City, Missouri. And I'm going to share some thoughts on that just a second. I think you'll enjoy them. I want to thank our sponsors, Dr. Alex Nelson. He owns Fountain of Life Chiropractic. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I did to my neck when I was looking at the sun today, but I need an adjustment. I mean, I'm turning my entire upper body instead of my neck right now. I need an adjustment. I'm going to tell you, chiropractic does it. Right now, with Dr. Alex Nelson, you just go there. They are on North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. You can get decompression for herniated discs, massage therapy, electrical stimulation. If you're a veteran or a veteran's family member, $30 adjustment fee. All right? Neck pain, back pain, all sorts of pain. You can take care of it, okay? FountainofLifeChiro.com, FountainofLifeChiro.com. Somebody was out mowing their yard today during the eclipse. So I was like, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking they might have had a Dixie chopper or a hustler raptor. Dixie choppers are made in Indiana. Hustlers are made in Kansas. And once you get on them, you don't want to get off. These are American-made zero-turning radius mowers, and they are built like a brick excrement house, for lack of a better expression. They are available at Grass Monsters KC, 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow. All right? GrassMonstersKC.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about this solar eclipse. You know, as much as I was trying to not get into it, I ended up kind of getting into it, and it was very exciting. I went out, and if you check out my Facebook page at Rob Carson Show, there's a couple of live videos there that I taped. You can see near totality, and here, what I thought was kind of interesting, as the sun was being overtaken by the moon, all of the locusts, all of the cicadas went quiet. I thought that was kind of wild. And I know you've had this song, by the way, on your mind all day, so I'll go ahead and play it real quick here. Yeah, I know.
Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
All right, you've had that in your mind all day. And if you haven't had that on your mind all day, you've had this on your mind all day.
Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Okay, enough with that. I saw an interesting piece, and I was on a radio station yesterday. I was auditioning for a talk position, and I made the observation, I'm a big believer in intelligent design, and I believe in God. There's a piece by Eric Metaxas. He says, so this sort of thing doesn't happen anywhere else in our solar system. It doesn't. Our planet has just one moon that happens to be the right size and just the right distance from the Earth to completely cover the sun, except for its corona. Do you know how remarkable that is? And do you know how important that has been in the history of science, particularly the last century, with studying the corona? To be able to take the center of the sun out so you can just see the corona? Pretty amazing. If you think about this, if you were going to take a single BB that represents the moon, and a gigantic beach ball, 6 feet in diameter, and make that BB's shadow cover up, a marble. You'd have to separate the beach ball from the BB by about 400 feet. Now, I want you to think about how random this is, because there are other moons or other planets in our solar system. I mean, Jupiter, I believe, has 13 moons. This happens nowhere else in the solar system. This is pretty amazing. I don't think it's a mere coincidence. I don't. And when you think about how powerful the eclipse has been in human history, for a variety of reasons, of folklore, science, it's kind of cool. One story that I did see that was kind of funny. I got to give the guy kudos for this. A man in California decided that he'd cash in on the eclipse by finding someone to have sex with and make a baby. So he went on Craigslist. Apparently this appeared this month on Craigslist Activity Partners. 40-year-old guy from San Francisco looking for a woman who wants to conceive a child. I'm 40 years of age. My heritage is strong and pure. My looks, instincts, knowledge, and strength is 100% lethal. In his post, the user was seeking a worthy female with strong genes, beauty, and smarts to make love with him during the eclipse, timing it so that the moment conception happens as the moon passes completely in front of the sun. He wanted to the intimate act to take place in Oregon, which, of course, is the path of totality. Hadn't determined the exact place. He says, and this is so bad. When totality occurs, we will have simultaneous orgasms and we'll conceive a child that will be on the next level of human evolution. This guy is genius. He touted that everything will be aligned in the local universe, including both his biological and his partner's cosmic energy. He also said that even his unit would be directed toward the sun. Anyone, woman who accepts his proposal must like cats, he said. Apparently, her attitude toward drugs, not that big a concern. I don't know if he got his chance to procreate, but you got to give the guy some credit for being creative. Oh, this is funny. The Atlantic has an essay by an academic, Alice Ristroff, of the Brooklyn Law School. And basically, she's accused the solar system of implicit bias against people of color. She said, on August 21st, 2017, total eclipse will arrive mid-morning on the coast of Oregon. It's been dubbed the Great American Eclipse, and along most of the path, there live almost no black people. Presumably, this is not explained by the implicit bias of the solar system. All right? This is insane. There's inanimate object privilege in the solar system, I guess. She goes on, Oregon, where it begins, is almost entirely white. The 10% of the state's residents who do not identify as white are predominantly Latino, American, Indian, Alaskan, and Asian. There are a few Oregonians, black Oregonians. From Oregon, the Great American Eclipse will travel through Idaho and Wyoming. It will catch a tiny, unpopulated piece of Montana. Percentage-wise, Idaho and Wyoming are even whiter than Oregon, and as in Oregon, but even more so, the few non-white residents of Idaho and Wyoming are not black. They are mostly Latino, blah, blah, blah. After Wyoming, the eclipse will go through Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri. Lincoln, Nebraska has a black population of 3.8%. City of Omaha has a greater black population, about 14%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, she bemoans that even where the eclipse could access larger African-American population, it appears to deliberately skirt them, such as in Mississippi, where the sun takes what can only be described as a clearly deliberate turn over Trump supporter rich rural county rather than saving. Oh, this is so good. Saving its. Hold on a second. I got the pages stuck together. Show for major cities along the Gulf Coast where populations are more diverse. Finally, having exhausted the astronomical indicators, Ristroff reaches her ultimate conclusion that America just plain sucks. We tend to backlight our history, and so we run the risk of trying to recover a glory that never existed. When the light in August changes, watch carefully. What an idiot. You got to watch through. Here, what? Watch it through a pair of NASA-approved glasses, not the lens of racism. Really, 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 really sickening. There was a march for free speech in Boston over the weekend. About 40 people showed up to march, and about 40,000 showed up to counter it. This was not meant to be a racist event. It was not a reaction to Charlottesville. This was a free speech rally by people who just happened to be conservative. The mob that showed up threw urine bombs at police, fecal matter at police, threw rocks. Even the mayor of the city denounced the free speech rally before it happened, as being some sort of a racist, white supremacist rally. Now, Joe Biggs is a commentator who was featured speaker. He blamed the mayor for false impression that the rally was racist. Marty Walsh deserves the blame for calling us white supremacists. Throughout the week, he was calling us racist. Every news channel said we were Nazis. Now listen to this. He's the reason thousands of people showed up wanting to kill us. He insisted the rally was not a white supremacist rally. and he himself was not a Nazi, noting that his wife is non-white. He noticed that the event opened up with a Jewish couple addressing the attendees, and another speaker was an African-American who spoke about equality and unity. The attendees had to wade through hateful crowds in an armored police vehicle and were later dropped off at a random post office, forcing them to make it to safety on their own. This is just unbelievable. And this is what is happening, and I said this on Facebook today. Right now, if there is anything that is not a left-leaning socialist Antifa rally, it will be called racist Nazi white supremacist. That's it. There's a toehold now. It's moved on from racist. It has moved on to white supremacist and now Nazi. And this is a sickening moment in our history. That this is catching on with the left in this country, that this is being believed by people in the country, that there are people, supposedly responsible people, who are not afraid to whip people into a dangerous and deadly frenzy. And the violence is happening at the Antifa rallies. Sarah Kendzior was on AM Joe over the weekend. She's a journalist. This is the kind of bull crap that is going to cause the country to descend into some sort of a limited civil war.
Pointed out, this is still a white supremacist house. You still have actual Nazis in the house. You have Jeff Sessions.
There are no Nazis in the frickin' White House.
Is a longtime antagonist against civil rights. And you have policies that back up these.
Give me an example. Give me an example, you fool.
Ideas in practice. And so what Bannon is probably going to do when he leaves is just support this aspect of Trump's agenda from the outside, which actually I think more dangerous and more harmful than having him in the White House, where he was, as was mentioned, somewhat contained.
Okay. There are no Nazis in the White House. It's an insult to people who voted for Donald Trump. It's an insult to half of us. And I refute it. Jim Kavanaugh, MSNBC, apparently he's a law enforcement expert, talked about the Antifa. Now, the Antifa, everywhere they go, they have, they are violent mob. They attack police. They attacked in Berkeley. They attacked in Seattle after Charlottesville. They threw rocks and fecal bombs and urine bottles at the police. They were at the Charlottesville rally. They hit Katie Couric and her crew with urine bombs. She didn't, of course, identify the people who did it. But here's Jim Kavanaugh talking about the glory that is the Antifa.
Put the thin blue line in, Alex, was what mm-hmm. we didn't see in Charlottesville. The thin blue line in there between the demonstrators. But look, I think...
He's talking about what happened in Boston.
People are... critical of Charlottesville. Some of it is justified and some of it is not. Boston is a larger force, used to larger demonstrations and a completely different atmosphere, especially with the guns.
Right.
So they're going to have more control. And also, look at this, 20,000 people. What a statement for America that are right now all peaceful. Now, there could be a very...
That's an absolute load of crap. There were a lot of police officers experiencing violence from these people.
Few, black bloc or Antifa people who want to commit violence. Mm-hmm. But, being anti-fascist, all of America was anti-fascist in World War II. Everybody in America was anti-fascist. So
yes, but everybody in America didn't pretend to be anti-fascist while being fascist. Burning books with Milo Yiannopoulos, while breaking out window fronts, while interrupting free speech rallies. That's what the fascists did, folks. You idiot.
That's not a bad label to be against fascism or Nazism or neo-Nazism.
Yeah,
it's not a bad label when you're hurling urine and fecal bombs at police.
But it's how you behave. It's how you behave out there today. And look, this is so commendable. Well, and I think it's so powerful, right?
Yeah, whatever. You idiot. You know what really is sickening is that you can have so many news cameras down there and you can miss the violence that happens at these rallies. It's really shameful. Dartmouth professor Mark Bray was on talking to, jackasses Bray? I mean donkeys. He was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd this weekend. He was there with Southern Poverty Law Center President Richard Cohen, also a complete and utter leftist, talking about if the Antifa's methods were okay. This, of course, includes acts of violence.
Mark Bray, I'll start with you. You seem to be a very small minority here who is defending the idea of violence, considering that somebody died in Charlottesville. Why do you defend confronting in a violent way?
Well, first, I would contest the notion that I'm that small of a minority. I think that a lot of people recognize that when pushed, self-defense is a legitimate response to white supremacist and neo-Nazi violence. And, you know, we've tried ignoring neo-Nazis in the past. We've seen how that turned out in the 20s and 30s. And the lesson of history is you need to take it with the other.
There is not a giant rise of neo-Nazism and white supremacy in the country. It's not happening. There was a rally with some real scumbags in Charlottesville. Don't get me wrong. They showed up. They had torches on Friday night. They brought weapons. I don't know if those were offensive or defensive weapons, because even the Washington Post said thousands on the left were going to show brandishing weapons. They expected violence from the left. Offensive or defensive? I don't know. Both sides were armed. Both sides were ready to commit violence.
Most seriousness before it's too late. We've seen the millions of deaths that have come from not taking it seriously enough. And we can see that really the way that white supremacy grows, the way that neo-Nazism grows, is by becoming legitimate, becoming established, becoming everyday, family friendly.
And they're not.
Wear khakis instead of hoods. And the way to stop that is what people did in Boston, what people did in Charlottesville. Pull the emergency brake and say, you can't make this normal.
Okay. So wearing khakis instead of hoods. Meanwhile, the Antifa is wearing masks. They're wearing all black. They are tearing down monuments. They're committing acts of vandalism. They are wrecking municipalities. They are injuring people. Really. I've never seen anything like this before. We're headed for something. We are headed for something. It's going to be big and ugly. I hope that the country splits left and right, and I hope the left goes to California and they set up their utopia there, because they will be begging to get back in into places that have limited government and free speech. In Dallas over the weekend, some anti-Confederacy protesters are down. This is Black Lives Matter. And about 2,300 people showing up. Apparently there's a monument there that they want torn down. Here's one of the chants that the protesters had. And by the way, the rally was dubbed the Dallas Against White Supremacy. Protesters carried signs denouncing white supremacy and Donald Trump. Groups calling for the tearing down of Confederate monuments came face to face with a smaller group dedicated to preserving them. Now, this is what they're doing with Donald Trump now. Because they have nothing with Russia. And then they've moved down other roads, like claiming that he is somehow mentally unfit for office. Now they've got a toehold. Now they're shouting from the rafters that Donald Trump, they're trying to tie Donald Trump in with white supremacism and Nazism. This is a dangerous, dangerous road. A very, very dangerous road we're going down. We had a lot of fear ginned up during the election. And that's what caused some of this. Now there are those who are feeding this fire, feeding this violent, violent mob. These guys are fomenting rage in an angry mob and saying it's okay to be violent. Mark Bray said it's okay to be violent. Sarah Kendzior, whatever the hell her name is, on AM Joe, saying that there are Nazis in the White House.
I think, as many have pointed out, this is still a white supremacist house. You still have actual Nazis in the house. You have Jeff Sessions, who's a longtime antagonist.
Okay. Again, this is a very dangerous place that we're going. This is uncharted territory. And somebody's going to have to fight back. And what I think is going to happen is hopefully, eventually, the Antifa will be exposed for what they are. The only problem is, I think that's going to be caused because they create bloodshed in the country. So at this rally, in Dallas. Here are what some of the delightful, peaceful protesters had to say about the police, because that also goes hand in hand with the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter rallies. Physically injuring, assaulting, and chanting at the police. Listen. Okay, cops and Klan go hand in hand. So it wasn't good enough to say pigs in a blanket fry them like bacon. Or just F the police. It's cops and Klan go hand in hand. Who are you going to call when there's a shooting in your neighborhood, idiot? Who are you going to call when you get robbed? I hope you get robbed. Oh, man, I really, really hope you get robbed. Reverend Michael Waters. I'm sure self-appointed black leader, senior pastor of the Joy Tabernacle, AME Church, said white supremacy comes with a body count. The blood of our ancestors cry out, justice should be delayed no more. What justice, man? What are you talking about? Dallas police protected the crowd with heavy buses to prevent someone from driving into the crowd, and with overhead sharpshooters to prevent some sort of an ambush attack. That left five Dallas area police officers dead in an attack last year following a Black Lives Matter protest. Unbelievable. Jefferson Memorial is going to get an update in the wake of the Charlottesville protests. Private nonprofit board of trustees who's in charge of the monuments on the National Mall working to get in front of the public relations nightmare. So what they're going to do is they're going to include some information about Jefferson being a slave owner. Protesters have yet to make it to the National Mall to demand the changes, but the Board of Trustees decided to take the first step before their hands are tied. Catherine Townsend, president for the Trust for the National Mall, wrote a letter to supporters, making them aware of the update. Said, I want you to join us as we steward private support to implement modern and resilient resolutions that can transform this dynamic space and preserve the historic legacy of the National Mall. We want to hear from you and work with you. In other words, please don't come here and wreck the place like you're doing all over the country. Said, we can reflect the momentous contributions of someone like Thomas Jefferson, but also carefully consider the complexity of the man he was. And that's not reflected right now in the exhibit. So put something in the, chisel something into the granite there or the marble that says I was a slave owner. That's what they're going to do. Missouri Democrat senator apologized for hoping Trump would be assassinated. Again, this is dangerous speech. This is the dangerous speech that's not protected by the First Amendment, okay? Saying that you are calling for the assassination of the president. State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal said, President Trump, I apologize to you and your family. I also apologize to all the people of Missouri. And I also apologize to my colleagues in the Missouri legislature for the mistake that I made. She deleted the post about Trump, but a screenshot was saved and shared on Twitter. Secret Service is checking her out, by the way. And this is where it gets really good. She turns to God and Jesus. The message that was sent out by me, by our God, is that I'm not here to serve as a teacher, as a translator, but most of all as a servant. I am a servant of God, and I am a servant of the people that I represent, and I failed them both recently. I made a mistake, and I'm owning up to it. And I'm never going to make that mistake again. I've learned my lesson. My judge and jury is my Lord Jesus Christ. No, it shouldn't be. It should be your peers in the legislature to kick your ass out of it. Top Missouri Democrats called for the resignation, including Missouri Party Chair Stephen Weber, Claire McCaskill, Senator, and Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, who's a Republican. Greitens said on Friday, if she will not resign, the Senate can vote to remove her. I believe they should. So good. I think you should. Words have consequences, kids. Words have consequences. So the buzz about monuments around the country is now that they are symbols of white supremacy. That's what they are, okay? No matter how many years of history we've had in this country, no matter how we felt about the founding fathers, no matter how we felt about anything, these are now complete symbols of white supremacy. They always have, apparently. Either they always have been or they never have been. Because they didn't just suddenly become symbols of white supremacy. Former Secretary of Homeland Security Jeh Johnson was on he was on one of the talkers this weekend talking about what they are with regard to national security. Okay, so the monuments are not only symbols of racism, but they are a threat to national security. Here's what he had to say.
So many of the statues, the Confederate monuments, are now modern day becoming symbols and rallying points for white nationalism, for neo-Nazis.
Where? Show me, please. There was Charlottesville. Show me the other rallies, please.
For the KKK. And this is most alarming. We fought a world war against Nazism. The KKK rained terror on African Americans for generations.
I didn't know that.
A number of Americans.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Had no idea. Wow. When did that happen?
Rightly, Republican and Democrat are very concerned and very alarmed. And I salute those in cities and states who are taking down a lot of these monuments for reasons of public safety and security.
Okay. No, it's because they incite a violent leftist mob. That's what it's all about. That's the danger to public safety there. I just read a story today. A guy tried to blow up one of the monuments. It's a developing story. Charles Barkley, former NBA player, had a few things to say about the monuments. And then thought, also had some pretty great thoughts on what we really should be concerning ourselves with.
I'm not going to waste my time worrying about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black, but also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them?
I've always ignored them. Rick, I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they ain't thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that.
Mm-hmm. All of this serves as a distraction, guys. I mean, all of this started with Black Lives Matter. This started with a distraction from the real crisis in the African community, African-American community, when 60% of the babies are aborted before birth, when 70%+ of families are being raised without fathers. When the murder rate is 10 times the national rate. This has always been about a distraction. And this is the latest distraction. The latest blame point. By the way, there will be no Civil War battle reenactment this year in Manassas. Because of growing tensions over Confederate statues and the uproar in Charlottesville, they've decided to get rid of this. And I think this is sad because this is about history. This isn't about celebrating. I mean, this is about history. It's about reenacting it. It's about living through one of the greatest tragedies, the greatest struggles in our history that nearly tore us completely apart. And people get together and they dress up and they recreate the battles. Idiocy. Also, there's a horse. University of Southern California is a mascot. The name of the mascot is Traveler. The horse was gotten from a circus, I guess. And they kept the name Traveler. Well, apparently, General Lee's horse is named Traveler. Spelled differently. One of the students of the Black Student Assembly said, white supremacy hits close to home. Even though the horse had a name before, it was the mascot, and it's named after, it's not a name. It's not named after General Lee's horse. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. Hey, I got to run. Thanks for joining the show. Make sure to check me out on Facebook at Rob Carson Show. Facebook at Rob Carson Show. Also on Twitter at Rob Carson. And download this podcast on iTunes. Just look for Rob Carson Show. iTunes, Rob Carson Show. See you back here for episode number 154.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show. On Twitter at Rob Carson. And on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.